Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Spencer's Retail Limited Q1 FY27 earnings conference call hosted by Emkay Global Financial Services Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Anuj Singh, CEO and MD. Thank you, and over to you.
Thank you very much, and good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Q1 FY27 earnings call. Thank you for your time to attend the call. As you know, we concluded the board meeting about half an hour ago, and I don't know whether most of you would have had the time to look at the earnings presentation, but I will walk you through what the quarter highlights were and what the achievements were. I'll do it at a consolidated level and then give you a little bit more color on how Spencer's did and how Nature's Basket did and where we see this moving forward in the quarters for this fiscal, and then open it up for questions from your side. If I were to kind of headline and summarize quarter one, I would say by all definitions, it was a very strong quarter one for us. Strong as defined by the fact that there was a good growth which we were able to deliver. At a consolidated level, revenues were at 469 crores for the quarter versus 416 crores in quarter one last year, which is a 13% year-on-year growth. And if I compare it with quarter four, it was an 8% quarter-on-quarter growth. This is significant because it's not one-off. This is actually the second consecutive quarter where we've been able to deliver good growth versus a comparative of the previous year. Gross margins were at the same percentage levels. At an absolute level, of course, they were higher, 93 crores at a consolidated level versus 86 crores in quarter one last year. And this led to, coupled with the fact that there was good control on costs, overall, we continued keeping a very tight control on our costs. And there was a 2x improvement as far as our EBITDA was concerned. So EBITDA at a consolidated level for the quarter was 9.4 crores, which is roughly 2% of sales versus 4.7 crores, or 1% of sales in quarter one of last year. A point to note is that in this EBITDA, in the comparative with last year, we had 10 crores lower other income, non-operating income. So if one were to strip that out, that is where you would kind of get the true magnitude of the improvement in EBITDA. This overall performance of 13% sales growth was powered by strong 8% growth, which was on the Spencer's format. So Spencer's, again, continued the trend of growth. This was not just the second quarter, but actually, if I were to look at it, it is the eighth consecutive month where we've been able to deliver growth over the previous year. So Spencer's had a quarterly growth of 18% year-on-year and 8% versus quarter four of the last year. This was driven. Growth was across both offline and the online channel. Online business grew at 50%, actually 49%, with profitability at the unit order level. And I'll give you some more details on this in a few minutes. The offline business also did well, grew at 14%, strong double-digit. Again, largely driven with improvement in consumer retention and repeat and frequency. And that was a good sign that the offline business was also resilient and growing. Margins were steady. If you see, it'll probably be 18.2% versus 19.1%. But this difference is attributable to an accounting treatment of our membership. If I look for like-for-like, margins are steady at 19%. EBITDA for Spencer's was 18 crores, which is 4.4% of sales versus the previous year, quarter one, where it was 15 crores. But that 15 crores had a non-operating income of about 7 crores. So really, I mean, the improvement happened in Spencer's, where it was largely top-line RGM coupled with the fact that our operational expenses were 5% lower versus quarter one. So I think Spencer's is making good progress. We are, like we have been mentioning, we've been moving from a efficiency-led EBITDA improvement to now going towards a sales growth-led EBITDA improvement. I think from here on, we will see continuous growth and growth with continued control on all operating costs will be the expansion lever as far as EBITDA is concerned. On Nature's Basket, we had, you know, a slightly muted performance, 8% quarter-on-quarter growth versus Q4 and a 13% degrowth. Sales were at 59 crores for the quarter versus 55 crores in Q4 and 69 crores versus Q1. Margins were flat, expenses were marginally lower, and therefore the financial EBITDA was 2.5 crores versus negative 2.5 crores versus negative 4.5 crores in quarter four, but a slight positive in quarter one. So overall, at a consolidated level, quarter one EBITDA was 9.4 crores versus 4.7 crores in quarter one. PBT, 60 crores negative versus 66 crores in quarter four last year. So I think this is a broad, I would say, headline summary. If I talk about Spencer's, I think Spencer's was, you know, well, like I said, you know, it was the eighth consecutive month of growth. I think here we've been able to prove that we still have headroom for growth with an existing footprint. So we've not added any store, but we're driving higher productivity per store, both in the offline and the online business. Therefore, this translates into, if I look at a key operating KPI like sales per square foot, our sales per square foot is 1,850 rupees a square foot, which is typically what we get in a festive quarter. You know, we don't get that in quarter one. So I think that's a very encouraging sign. I would set the target as, you know, reaching to 2,000 rupees SPSF in the festive quarter, and that is the internal target. Margins, I mentioned, were at 19%. Operating expenses were lower, so EBITDA for Spencer's was 18 crores versus 15 crores. You know, this is again the non-operating income being stripped off. You know, we've also done a fair bit of work as far as costs are concerned at the support level, so support costs are also at a lower level. Our store EBITDAs, which is the true barometer of efficiency, has actually reached, we don't disclose that, but it's actually 2x of what it was in quarter one of last year. So I think that's the strongest thing. We are making good progress towards what we have publicly stated, our short-term aspiration of reaching to about 7.5 to 8% store EBITDA. We were quite far off. We were more in the range of 2.5%, and we've kind of, you know, moved that significantly higher, but still, you know, some journey to do to make it to 8%. So store EBITDAs are improving, obviously on the increased sales, increased RGM, and controlled costs. On the online business, sorry, before I get to online, offline business, like I mentioned, was, you know, was also had good growth. This growth is being driven by a higher level of customer retention, and which is accomplished through our membership program. Our membership program, which we launched in July of last year, has now, we've got more than 125,000 members, you know, which is roughly, you know, 25% of our active monthly customer base. So 1 in 4 customers are reward members, and they contribute 1/3 of our monthly sales. So I think that's becoming an important driver of getting people to come back to the stores. These members have a much higher retention rate. And when I say retention is, you know, what percentage of people come back and shop in the next month. That's about 2x of what is there for non-members. The average monthly spend by members is also roughly 3 times what a non-member would spend. So overall, and the frequency is, you know, almost touching 5, which is, again, 2x of what non-members have. So overall, I think this is a program which has gained significant traction and will continue to drive it. This is contributing to offline growth. We have also introduced from a simple one-tier membership structure to a three-tier membership structure. where we have higher levels of membership, where you have higher benefits like more online free deliveries, etc., and higher percentage payback. So that's on the offline business. On the online business, I think it was one of the strong quarters. We had close to, like I said, 49% growth versus quarter one of last year. The encouraging point is that, we are doing this by really improving and looking at the unit order economics. Our contribution per order, which is if you take the RGM which you make on the order and reduce the fulfillment cost, is now in positive territory. Last year, quarter one, we were making approximately, we were losing 18 rupees on every order. And now we are actually turned the tide where in quarter four, we were around 12 rupees. Now we're making 18 rupees per order. And that's largely driven by the fact that our number of orders has increased. Our ABVs are high and we've been able to therefore get a higher level of productivity. Our ABVs continue to be 780 plus, which is pretty good. Our margins are almost the same as what they've been. But like I said, higher level of efficiencies driving positive unit order economics. So I think that's an encouraging sign. We expect, this to continue to be sustained. We are being very calibrated in our customer acquisition. Most of our customer acquisition is coming from our existing offline customers who choose this platform therefore are tend to have higher stickiness. Our repeat rates are also very high. We are at about 67%, which has been one of the highest in the quarters. And our NPS scores are 85 plus. Our on-time delivery we're doing it in shade under 30 minutes. We were never a 10-minute delivery proposition. So we are sticking to that. But the more important part in the whole fulfillment is that our in-full is above 90%. That's what we are constantly trying to improve and take it to the next level. So overall, I would say for Spencer's, the outlook for FY27 is to continue and sustain this growth momentum. We are looking at continued discipline when it comes to our working capital allocation and inventory optimization, focusing on availability of the right SKUs, continuing to build on our membership program and drive the online in a calibrated but in a, I would say aggressive manner in terms of growth. So that's the outlook as far as Spencer's is concerned. On Nature's Basket, we've had a bit of a setback, but, we've kind of fixed those issues. Those issues were largely internal around having the right level of inventory at stores and really kind of, pushing, building a higher amount of online sales growth. We've had a change in management at Nature's Basket about 45 days ago, and we've kind of drawn up a complete reset plan where fundamentally we're changing nothing. It's, the proposition remains the same. It is just about disciplined, sharper, focused execution and really being best in class as far as execution is concerned. And this best in class execution centers around having the right assortment at the right time, at the right price, and really focusing on a couple of categories which are our core strengths, which is around fresh vegetables and fruits, both Indian as well as exotics, looking at our fresh meat section, looking at sections like cheese, and looking at imported packaged goods. So I think it's driving that with a renewed sense of discipline and focused execution. Our gross margins are stand at the same level, and really it's not about improving percentage margins, but it's really about increasing your throughput looking at driving a much higher level of gross margins at an absolute level, not at a percentage level. So that's the commentary on Nature's Basket. But like I said, at a console level, I would term this as a strong sales growth-led performance. 13% year-on-year growth is pretty creditable, and I think we will be able to sustain this through the year, with steady margins, controlled operating expenses, we will see the full flow through of it as far as the EBITDA is concerned. Yeah. So I'll pause over here. This is the commentary, but I'll open it up for questions from people. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Anita Bajaj, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on both set of numbers. A couple of questions from my side. Firstly, I would like to ask that we can see across Spencer's Nature's State and Jiffy, we are seeing very different growth trajectory. How should investors think about the portfolio over the next 2-3 years?
So, obviously, there will be different levels of percentage growth given the size of the business. You know, Jiffy, which is our online platform, is at a much lower base. I mean, last year we did 200 crores in that. So, obviously, don't get misled by the, percentage growth. The way we see it is all three will need to and will. Not just need to, but will deliver growths which are commensurate to their size, scale of operation. Nature's Basket has 31 stores. Spencer's has 89 stores. Jiffy has, a scale of business which is 200. The way I kind of, I don't give individual kind of, growth targets, but it's safe to assume that when it comes to the online business, we are looking at going from we're not burning a lot of money in terms of customer acquisition, and we don't want to kind of alter our unit order economics. So I think we'll see growth rates, full year cumulative growth rates on that business, which will steady at around 25% as far as the online business is concerned. I think on the offline business, it'll probably be mid to high single digits on the Spencer's offline business. And Nature's Basket, because clearly last year was not really a very strong year. I would say from quarter three, quarter four, we will start seeing, early double-digit growths as far as Nature's Basket is concerned once we finish the whole reset and the optimization. Yeah. So, yeah, different growth trajectories, but all of them will be in growth.
Okay. Yeah, but Nature's Basket has seen a 8% sequential recovery. So can you tell us what are the 2-3 KPIs that you are tracking internally to determine whether the turnaround is on track?
No, so I think, I would not get too carried away by the 8% Q1Q growth quarter four versus Q1. I would be more focused on, what was the year-on-year growth, which was negative. I think, we are in the process, like I said, in terms of just resetting a few fundamental basics, and those few fundamental basics are, more around our own execution. So really in terms of availability, looking at, kind of trimming the long tail of SKUs we have and focusing on the best sellers, looking at certain must-win categories from a consumer perspective. A consumer walks into Nature's Basket for its quality and its timely availability of fresh products. Fresh defined as fresh fruits, vegetables, cheese, dairy, fish and meat. So we've always got to be, we want to be winning in those categories. And winning starts with first having the right assortment always. It's not just, success is not by chance, it is by design. So I think those are the basics which we do. From a operating KPI point of view, for me, there are largely three operating KPIs. Number one is your sales per square foot, which is a reflection of your turnover which you're generating, the sales per square foot needs to go up, and will go up as we kind of drive throughput with the right categories. Number two would be not just percentage margins, but looking at therefore rupee gross margin. There is no point in, having a 30% margin on a, 250 crore business versus having a 28% margin on a 350 crore business. We all know what works better for the business. So the second KPI will be the rupee gross margin. And the third one linked to that would be also ensuring that our, costs are in control. Now, having said that, let me be, absolutely forthright. In a format like Nature's Basket, you can't a big level of cost optimization simply because it is a premium experiential-led grocery format. So premium experiential formats require that, you have stores which are in good condition, you have a lot more equipment, your staff needs to be of a certain quality. So I'm not, unlike Spencer's where we've been able to do a lot of our optimization on expenses, we will not be able to do a lot of that on Nature's Basket. On Nature's Basket, it is top line led, driving sales per square foot, driving your rupee gross margins, and of course, doing on support costs, on overhead costs, we will do. We've done one round of optimization when it comes to support infrastructure in Nature's Basket. So I think those will be the three key KPIs which we'll be tracking, the lead KPIs, which again, will help us realize our stated goal of driving a higher level of top line in Nature's Basket. Will we see, I'm preempting a few questions, will we see new store openings? No, we will not see new store openings because we believe we have a decent concentration and a presence of stores. In fact, we will be putting in a little bit of money in terms of refurbishing some of our stores of Nature's Basket. Because, some of them, as stores age, especially given that it's a premium experiential format, you need to renovate these stores. So we will spend our limited capex on renovating stores, driving a higher level of throughput. We will not see too many addition of stores. We will also use and drive a lot more of the online part of the business as far as Nature's Basket is concerned. It is still not as significant in the mix as it is for Spencer's Jiffy format, and we intend to do that. We will share more progress of that in the next quarter, but really, it is that's the direction as far as ND is concerned. I hope I've answered your question, Anita.
Yeah. So, regarding the store expansion, you don't have any plans for Nature Basket, but are there any plans for Spencer's?
No, not in this fiscal. We're not adding. It's not a large plan. We're opening. So what we're doing is we're opening, stores where we have to kind of relocate a few stores. Plus, we are trying, a couple of stores within existing clusters. So we just 2 days ago we launched a small store in the suburban areas in Calcutta. So we will look at it in a very calibrated manner, but I'm not giving a number saying we'll add 10 stores. I still believe that we have our task cut out and we're making good progress in terms of driving a higher level of sales with the existing footprint. And that's the evidence is your SPSF going up. Yeah. So not this year, but once we reach to our level where we want to be, then we will have a more calibrated expansion plan in FY28 on store openings.
Sure. Just one more question. As you mentioned in your opening speech that membership is driving the growth in Spencer's. So what is the potential? Can 50% of the business come from membership?
Yes, it could. I think it is, we still have only 100. The way I look at it, we only have 125,000 members, right? I'm not looking at the percentage contribution coming from these members. I'm looking at an absolute number. Just to give a ballpark number, I would love to have 200,000 members who shop with us at least 5 times a month. That's the number. Now, if they contribute to, 39% or 42%, that's okay. That's a derivative.
Okay. Thanks. I'll join the queue.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants to press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Parikshit Gupta from Fair Value Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. I hope I'm audible. Thank you for the opportunity. Just letting you know that I'm at the airport and the reception is bad here, so I apologize in case I drop out. First of all, congratulations on a consistent growth quarter for Spencer's. I just wanted to check, what was the major contributor for this growth? Was it volumes or was it more increase in average bill value?
No. So, you know, for us, the growth, like I said, came across both offline business and online business. And the driver for this was both a higher level of NOBs, and a slightly, I would say it was 70% was driven by higher number of NOBs and 30% was a higher level of ABV. It was a combination of two, but largely driven by higher number of NOBs, number of bills, which to me is if you were to look at it in FMCG parlance, it's underlying volume growth as opposed to pricing growth.
This is helpful. Thank you. In terms of these categories, would it be correct to assume that more fresh or fruits and vegetables would have been the growth factor in this quarter? Our channel check suggests that those have been the highest contributors for departmental stores in the recent quarter.
Actually, you know, I mean, if I look at my category mix, you know, it does not. So for me, I mean, for our format, and I'm talking about Spencer's, you know, FMCG continues to be at the same level of. So I think its category mix hasn't really changed dramatically. It's across the board, you know, it is gone. I think where we've seen a slight increase is in staples. Staples has gone up by 100 basis points. Fresh, you know, has been the same level. So it's neither gone up or down. Our contribution, you know, we sell liquor. Liquor has gone up by 100 basis points. And our non-food portfolio, which is apparel, E&E and GM, is kind of gone down by 100 basis points. So I think, you know, if I look at it, it's not, there's nothing that, you know, it's the food part of the business which is driving, both in FMCG as well as staples, which is driving. And fresh is at the same level. It's just that higher level of NOBs have gone up, and we've seen that in the category bill penetration numbers are almost the same. So it's not that we suddenly added a lot more of fresh consumers. I think it's just, you know, because now we have, you know, sharp availability, our membership program. Actually, I forgot to mention, in our membership program, it's not just as a percentage off which you get on your monthly purchase. We've also started having member special pricing. So, for example, you might have an SKU which has an MRP of 100. If you're a regular non-member, you'll probably get it at 90. I'm just giving a hypothetical example. But if you're a member, you could be getting it at 85. So a member gets a dual benefit. Not only do they get a percentage cash back at the end of the month, depending on which slab they spent, but they also get member special prices on select categories. So I think that is driving across the board buying. So once a consumer comes in and you're a member, you know, you are interested in buying the whole basket, your monthly purchase basket, and that could straddle FMCG food, that could straddle staples, fresh, etc. So I think we're seeing the category mix hasn't really changed dramatically. It's across the board increase in NOV. Yeah, Parikshit, I hope I've answered your question.
Yes, that was helpful. Thank you for the elaborate answer. My next question, in terms of latest basket, I know that the category optimization would take some time. However, we mentioned the quick commerce part on the latest basket, that pilot program that you were considering. Is there any update on that? Did you try it out? Did it work well? Or any comments that you have on that, please?
Yeah, so it wasn't really quick commerce. I think what we were mentioning was, we said that we will start building the online segment for Nature's Basket as well. So the progress so far has been on good progress has happened on the tech part, on the tech stack. So in terms of the app, etc. But you know, I mean, given all the other challenges which we had around availability, range optimization, we were not able to dial up the consumer acquisition piece of it. I think that's something which will be in play as we do that, because that's a prerequisite. You don't want to spend money in either awareness or consumer acquisition if you don't have the right inventory and the right availability to drive that, because that's very, very sensitive on the online channel. So I think that's something which is going to follow as soon as we fix this part of the inventory. But from a tech development point of view, you know, I think it's ready. It's riding on the same tech backbone as the Jiffy platform, which is now very, very stable. You know, it's quite the consumer interface is very friendly, very modern, very contemporary, and best in class. So I think that part, the tech part, has been solved. We will do the consumer acquisition and the scale out. You know, we'll do it selectively in two cities where we have a concentration of stores, but that'll follow.
I understand, and thank you for that. But I was actually referring to, you know, the idea of maybe letting an Instamart or a Blinkit be, you know, have the Matrix Market store products on those platforms, because we have some.
So you're right. So I think, look, on that part, you know, as you know, those these players have their own plans, and in fact, not just their plans, but they all most of them have a gourmet section. So I think, you know, we did explore that, but the fact that, you know, there will be a substantial margin sharing does not commercially make the case for us to do it. And similarly for them, they would probably, you know, not probably, they're looking at doing it on their own. So Blinkit today has a gourmet store. You know, you would have read that Flipkart wants to launch a gourmet kind of a platform called Pykd, PYKD. So I think all of these guys will do it. So for us, it's not about, you know, we don't want to take shortcut quick wins, which are not sustainable. You know, one can list it on Amazon and, you know, give a 15-20%, you know, margin and scale up the business, but that doesn't really help, because you'll get a good top line, but you'll sacrifice margins, and tomorrow that might not be sustainable because they will, you know, learn and develop their own versions of the gourmet online store. So I think we are not aggressively looking at being.
Understood. Got it. Thank you. In terms of the balance sheet, what is our current level of debt? If you can help me with that, please.
Yeah, sure.
So at a console level, we have a total debt of 1,266 crores. SRL is 1,019 and NBL is 237. And 10 crores.
I understand. And I just wanted to check this, a large part of the debt was supposed to get refinanced in this current year. So has that process already?
The process has started. The process has started, and it will, you know, kind of in the next, in this month itself, we will get some, you know, debt in.
I think that's been secured.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So yeah, Parikshit, your question here. Yeah. Parikshit, any more questions?
His line has dropped, actually.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask question, please press star and one. A reminder to all the participants to press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, since there are no questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
So thank you very much for your time. You know, like I said, we are making good progress against our ambition of you know, getting to an EBITDA breakeven. It started with phase one, which was around like I said, a cost optimization, efficiency-led EBITDA improvement. I think the journey has started since the last two quarters now to pivot to a sales growth-led EBITDA improvement. It's happened for 2 quarters, and we are quite confident that we'll sustain. So stay tuned, stay patient, and we'll come back to you in quarter two to apprise you on how the quarter two went. Thank you very much and have a good day.
On behalf of Emkay Global Financial Services Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.